Margie asked me, "Do you really want that ugly water bottle on the pulpit?" I said, "Yes, because by remembering this ugly water bottle, you might actually remember something about the sermon." You'll say, "Now, what was that sermon?" "Oh, yeah, it had that ugly water bottle. Oh, yeah." So we'll see. Never know. Can you imagine a water bottle that you never have to fill? Think of all the times we grab for a bottle of water, heading off to the gym or to ride our bike along the Tart Trail, hiking out to Sleeping Bear Dunes or running up Old Mission Peninsula. Imagine what it would be like if you didn't have to fill that bottle. Just grab and go. Sure, taking a couple minutes to fill a water bottle is a first world problem. I get that. But think about those who could really benefit from a water bottle they didn't have to fill. People living in emerging nations or even places in America where groundwater is in short supply. Or countries or even cities like Flint where the water is contaminated. Or what about the homeless? Sure, if they're here at the church with Safe Harbor, there are drinking fountains. But what if they're camping in the woods and the stores are closed or there's not a fountain close by? How wonderful would it be to have a water bottle that fills itself? Sounds like a pipe dream, or maybe a scam. Maybe a new alchemy in a world where water is becoming more precious than gold. I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe it is too good to be true. This is the first I've heard of it. But as I understand, there is an Austrian designer by the name of Christoph Redesar. And the word is, he has invented a self-filling water bottle that literally draws water out of thin air. I know, sounds hard to believe, drawing water out of air, especially for you Michiganders. But where Margie and I come from, there's this thing called humidity. Water in the air. And it's not uncommon to have 90% humidity. Well, in places like that, where the temperature runs between 80 and 100 degrees and the humidity is 80 to 90%, Redesar's water bottle, called the Fontus, Redesar's water bottle draws water right out of the air. Now, I don't want to go too far into the weeds on the technology, because I'm not sure I really understand it. But as I can gather, humid air passes through a small solar-powered cooling unit filled with water-repellent toothbrush bristles. When the warm air hits the cold bristles, water condenses, like the water that condenses on an ice-cold mojito on a hot Cuban day. Redesar claims in really good conditions, the Fontus can produce a half quart of water an hour. If Redesar can do this, provide an unending source of fresh water, if Redesar can do this, he will change people's lives around the world. W.H. Auden once wrote, "Thousands have lived without love. Not one without water." If Redesar can do this, no one will have to go without water. That's a big if. Some scientists have gone on record saying a self-filling water bottle sounds too good to be true. They've crunched the numbers. Getting enough air to flow through the bristles to produce a liter an hour would take more power than the Fontus system can provide. Not to mention the price point, $165 to $250, may be cost prohibitive. Nevertheless, Redesar's work continues. He has raised over $200,000. Through crowdsourcing. The world's hope is strong. for an unending source of living water. However, Redisar's work turns out, as people of faith, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have an unending source of life-giving water, our baptism. For through baptism, we are made one with Christ, who is the source, the fontus of living water. This morning, we are celebrating both Epiphany and the revelation, which is the revelation of God's love to the world, and the baptism of Jesus, the source of God's unending love. In Jesus' baptism, we see clearly his identity, his character, and his purpose: to claim our lives as the Son of God and stand in solidarity with us, that we may share in God's unending life and love. In his book, God Against Religion, Matthew Meyer Bolton says it this way: imagine the Jordan River, a line of unwashed sinners on one side waiting anxiously for baptism, and a line of those newly washed clean on the other. And now comes God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth, the only one among them all who might truly claim to be clean and pure. And he proceeds to get in line with the sinners. He crosses the Jordan, so to speak, in the opposite direction, from clean to sinner, from insider to outsider. He confirms his solidarity with sinners by submitting to baptism. Friends, Jesus knew what he was doing. John had been preaching the good news of repentance and baptizing believers in the Jordan for a while. Jesus joins the crowd of the others, the crowd of sinners who have come to be baptized by John. The question is, why? It wasn't clear to John. He knew Jesus, they were cousins. But John couldn't imagine why Jesus had come to be baptized. If anything, Jesus should be baptizing John. Jesus responds to John's protests liturgically: we are doing this to fulfill all righteousness. We are doing this because it is the will of God. Though he is without sin, Jesus submits to being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, because it is God's will. Jesus' baptism is an act of solidarity and submission, an act of humility and obedience. God's promise of salvation, offered first to Abraham and Sarah, claimed by Moses and the prophets, revealed in the world by the epiphany of the Magi, God's promise of salvation is being fulfilled in the life and faith, the love and obedience of Jesus Christ. In submitting to baptism, Jesus has become the source of God's unending life and love for the world. Though he is without sin, to show solidarity with those he came to save, Jesus submits to John's baptism. Though Jesus is God the Son, he offers his life and faith, his love and obedience to God the Father. Though Jesus is the source of unending life, he submits to death, bearing us up from the grave as he emerges from the waters of baptism. In his act of solidarity and obedience, Jesus is not only one with us, Jesus is one of us. In his submission to John's baptism, Jesus has become the source of God's unending life and love for the world. In Jesus' baptism, the waters of baptism become the unending source of life for all people. As Jill Duffield observes in her reflections on the lectionary, the bruised reeds and the dim wicks have the beloved Son on their side. Sinners have a shot at salvation. The Son who submits to baptism will also submit to death, coming up from the water and the grave for the sake of the unclean, the underdogs, Gentiles, prisoners, Pharisees, soldiers, Pilate, Peter, all of God's fallen yet beloved world. This is who our God is. How radically our God loves, and how far our God will go in order to establish justice and show mercy. Friends, thirst is a wonderful gift. Our thirst tells us we need refreshment. Something is wrong that requires our attention. Our bodies are suffering. If we ignore our thirst, we will die. But the truth is, if we wait until we are thirsty to take a drink, we have waited too long. If you're an athlete, a runner, you know this. If you're older, dealing with dehydration, your doctor has probably told you, don't wait until you're thirsty to take a drink. It's the same for spiritual thirst. We can't wait until we're thirsty to reach for God. Worship on the Lord's Day, daily prayer, reading the Bible, serving others, enjoying fellowship, living generously are but a few of the ways we satisfy our thirst for God. Living the life of faith brings refreshment before we thirst. Would that we'd live each day enjoying this unending source of life, our own spiritual fontes. But we don't. We get busy. We get distracted. We let lesser gods make claims upon our lives. We don't notice at first, but then our marriage starts to suffer. Dinner time becomes unbearable. We get a little testy at work, a little distracted at school. Our grades start to slip. People and occasions which once brought us joy now leave us empty and alone. We look to other, too often destructive ways to satisfy our thirst, to no avail. Beloved, when your life reaches that point, and all our lives do at some point, when your life reaches that point, when you thirst for God, remember your baptism. The unending source of life-giving water we have been given in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.